are not able to give their condolences to the Imam of the time. People like Ayatollah Nimr, who's in the custody of the Zalimeen. And may Allah give him relief from that, and all the mu'mineen. So let us remember all the mu'mineen and recite Amma Yujib 5 times and ask Allah for their relief. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma Yujibul Muttarra Ida Da'a wa Yakshifisu. 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 Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'a wa yakshifisu. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alam. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. If we don't understand that Allah wants us, in fact demands from us, that we take pleasure and enjoy and seek pleasure, and that our lives be happy, if we don't realize that Allah wants this from us and demands it from us, then obviously the pleasures we are speaking of are true pleasures. If we don't realize that Allah wants this from us, then what ends up happening, the logical conclusion of that, is that we will seek it from Allah. We will demand it from Allah. The idea, the concept of lazzat, pleasure, is in our nature. It's in our nature to enjoy. And as we had said, it is the purpose of Allah's creation in order that we enjoy. That's why Allah created us, so that whatever ending we have, Allah wants enjoyment, that we enjoy, that we have fun, that we truly become happy and seek this pleasure. And if we don't look at this as something that Allah wants from us, that Allah is saying, why aren't you having fun? Why aren't you enjoying yourself? If we don't look at it that way, if we don't realize that's the case, then we will end up asking Allah, Allah, I'm not happy. Why aren't you making me happy? Then we end up demanding from Allah. We think that we will end up feeling entitled before Allah that Allah should give us this. This is the natural result of this. And when that happens, our relationship with Allah suffers. You see, that's the reason many people are not happy. They don't enjoy. And hence, when they don't, they end up feeling entitled before Allah that Allah, why? And this now becomes like, for example, when you see children who fight with their parents, who are unhappy with them. It ends up like that. That's the relationship that becomes of a person with his creator when he doesn't view and realize the fact that it's Allah who wants us to have fun. Now, obviously, when we see this, having demands like this before Allah and having claim like this before Allah is not good for our souls, our ruh. Allah, we want a happy life, really, because in our heart there is love for pleasure. And to deny that, to suffocate that pleasure, when a person denies and suffocates that, he will stand before his Rabb, before Allah, and he will say, Allah, you know, I mean, what happened? I'm not happy. I want you to make me happy. I want you, Allah wants this. Why are you asking me? He wants it for? You see, my friend, understand this. Now, you know, obviously, I'm going to scratch the surface and go a little bit deeper. So, you know, obviously, you know, we don't want anyone to have heart attacks here. Right. But sometimes things need to be looked at a little bit deeper in order for us to take it out from the bottom of our hearts and bring the issue forward. Allah is asking us, why aren't you happy? Why are you so sad? Didn't I give you enough reasons to be happy? Didn't I give you enough cause to be happy? Why are you not happy? And the greatest reason for you being happy is me, meaning Allah. I'm the reason. Really? Don't you see that? I am the reason. I'm the main reason for you to be happy. That I'm your Rabb. I'm with you. You see, this is what happens. And we look at this. And we look at this relationship. Really, I mean, yeah, let me give an example so you can understand the emotion behind it. We send the salawats. You know, when you go out, let's say, for any reason, on a, you know, trip, whether it's business or Hajj or Ziyarat or something like that, right? You go out. And when you come back, and obviously, you know, your children are at home, and you come home, you meet your children meet you, right? Now, the children, if they, for example, say, so what did you get me? What gift did you get me? No, I'm the parent. I love my children. So I will look at them. Yo, you know what? I got you this gift and that gift. See, this is one way. And it's fine. They're being children. I'm being the parent. I love them. And obviously, they love me also. Right? And they ask for what gift did I, you know, did you bring from the trip? Now, that's fine. But instead of that, if your child says, if you tell the child, listen, I brought you this gift, and the child says, you know, that's all right. But you know what really makes me happy is that you are back. You are the one who makes me happy. Your company, you are here. I wanted you to be here. I missed you. Now tell me, would that, when you look at your child like that, you see, there's a difference, right? There's a difference. My friends, when we really are not happy with what Allah gave us or what we have, or we're not enjoying life, we're not enjoying ourselves, and we ask Allah, this is a problem here. On our part, that we don't have enough marifat. In fact, if I truly look at it, really, Allah, I don't need anything to make me happy. Just that I know you has made me happy. This should be our emotion. When we look at our own children, we can learn from that. But let me explain more if you send us salawats. Because I want to clear some doubts, you know, so we don't understand this incorrectly, right? My friends, Allah is not trying to give you the runaround, right? He's not trying to deceive you. He's not trying to pull your leg in saying that, listen, you come to me, you know, and by doing that, he's trying to get you away from all the other pleasures of life. Really, that's not the case. Allah is saying, the reason I'm telling you this, that I am the greatest reason for your enjoyment, is because that's your true nature. That's your true nature. That's why I made you. I know you. I'm not trying to give you the runaround. Really. You find pleasure in these things and that things? Look at yourself and look at the pleasures that you have and what you are pleased with and what are you having fun with. Just because you don't have some things, you're upset. Why aren't you enjoying the rest of the things? Just because I don't have an Xbox One, you know, I'm like, you know, up in arms. I want that. My life is not complete without that. What do you mean your life is not complete? Allah didn't give you enough? You see, my friends, understand this. When we don't view it like that, then we try to find pleasure in things and things that we don't have. I'll get to that. Allah says, trust me. I'm telling you, trust me. I want you to be happy. Really, I want you to be happy. This is Allah's demand. All right. You know, Allah has asked us to do shukr. He says, be grateful. He asked us, and logically and reasonably, we also say that if someone does good to us, we should say thank you, right? We should say, you know, and we should be grateful for someone who does something good for us. Shukr, is it important in our life? Yes or no? Okay, good, good. So you're awake. I just want to make sure you're awake, right? Shukr is important, right? And we do give shukr. We say thank you. But my friends, the only thing in shukr is this. The only thing in gratefulness is when you're doing it, be honest. Don't be deceitful. Be honest when you do shukr. When you say Allah shukr, be honest. Don't be, you know, conning Allah. It doesn't work. You're only hurting yourself when you do that. When you say shukr, what does that mean? Understand the concept of shukr, the philosophy of shukr. When Allah says, do shukr, there's something that's entailed in there. A lot of times we don't look at those things that are entailed in there. You know, when Allah says something, there's something behind it. If you don't look at that, then this thing doesn't make sense. How many of you have understood the concept of Amr bil Maruf and Nahy al Munkar? Everyone's afraid to raise their hands, you know. Amr bil Maruf is one of our wajibat, right? In the Furu'd-Din, these are two things. In Furu'd-Din, these are wajib on us. Have you ever understood when Allah says, do Amr bil Maruf and Nahy al Munkar? What does that entail? You know, so now those who don't understand it, you know, especially happens in Sunday school, they say Amr bil Maruf means that, you know, you enjoin others, you advise others for good. Right? And you advise them not to do good. Well, this is a completely wrong idea of what Amr bil Maruf and Nahy al Munkar is. You know what that means? And those who are Arabs will know this. This is their language. You know, when you say Amr, Amr means command. Nahi is a negative command. Amr is don't do that. Nahi is, you know, like, Amr is do that. Nahi is don't do that. That's an Amr. Allah is not saying advise others. That's not wajib. You can advise others or not, that's your problem. Allah is saying do Amr, that's wajib. Now my friends, tell me, who can you give orders to? Very good. We have a smart guy here. He has experience. Right? He has experience. Of course, he's right, and I'll get to that. Right? Now, let's start off with us, right? Let's say, for example, you want to tell someone else to do something or not to do something? Tell me, how would you say it? Would you command them to do that, or would you request them to do that? You'll request, right? You'll say, please, can you do that? Even, let's say, for example, the EC of Moment Center, you know, want to tell someone that their car is parked incorrectly. So would they say, get that car out of there or else? Or else what? What you gonna do? Right? I mean, is anyone gonna take that? No. They will say, please, right? Please take this car out. Right? Please move your car. Why are you saying please for? This is not Amr. This is not Nahi. My friends, understand, when Allah is saying do Amr and Nahi, He is not saying for you to advise others or to say a please and request others. He is saying you have to command others. Now, the only place where we do command is our children, right? When we want to tell our child, we can say please, but if we say get water for me, right? You don't need to say please. You say please, okay, it's your good akhlaq. But let's say you order him, right? 9 o'clock curfew, that's it. So now what happens is that when you say that with a command, he listens. Why are you able to say it to your children and why not others? Why is it possible for you and it's perfectly understandable for you to give commands to your children and not others? Because of the fact that they are under your authority. Because you have wilayat. You have authority over them. That's when you can command someone, when you have authority. If you don't have authority, you can't command anyone. You can only request and say please. If the EC tells someone to move their car, they will say please. If a cop tells them to move their car, he says, get that car out of there before I take it in. Right? Why? Why is a cop able to say that? Because he has authority. When Allah is saying to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, what this wajibat entails is for you to establish authority. If you don't establish authority, you can't do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar. You can't command anyone to do anything. You have no authority, you have no wilayat. This is the reason when Allah tells you to do something, look at what it entails. And then you will realize that this is what Allah wants us to establish so that we can do this wajibat. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The same thing is with shukr. When Allah says, do shukr and give thanks, what does that mean? What does that mean when you say to do shukr? My friends, it's not, you know, for example, you know, we are in difficulties and pain and hardship and we are doing shukr. What are you doing shukr for? I'm sad, you know. I'm sad and I now, when I go there before Allah, I stand before Allah and now I'm praying. I say, Allah, you know, my life is messed up. You ruined my life. But shukr anyway. Thank you for that. What kind of thanks is that? Really, what kind of thanks is that? Saying that, Allah, you know, I'm lacking so many things. I need this and I want that. Allah, thank you. Thank you. My friends, what kind of, this is insulting. This is offensive. Right? You're like, you tell your mom and dad, you know, my life is boring. I don't have anything to play with, but thanks anyway. I mean, this is insulting. Really it is. My friends, the idea of shukr, really what it entails is that you are having fun and you are enjoying. When you enjoy, then when you say shukr, it's natural. When you say thank you, it's natural. If you're not enjoying, if you're not happy, if you're sad, then what are you giving shukr for? Really, this is what Allah says when He says, do shukr, He says, be happy. So that when you're happy, then you can do shukr. Then shukr when you come and say, Allah, thank you so much for that. Allah, I don't know where to begin thanking you. I am so happy. That's the idea. That's the concept of lazzat that Allah has put in our nature and in the demands in Islam that you become happy. Find happiness, my friends. That's the way that shukr can be done. Otherwise, it's not shukr anymore. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When a person doesn't go after lazzat and trying to fulfill his pleasure and enjoying whatever is in his life and whatever is in his life. If he doesn't do that, then you know what ends up happening? Really, what ends up happening is that we start doing sabr. And this is the worst thing that we can do with Allah. He says, well, you know, my life is terrible. I have so many things to go through, all these musibat on my head and misfortunes on my head. I'll just do sabr in life. What kind of sabr is this? This is not what Allah means by sabr. You're doing sabr on whom? On Allah? Allah, yes, my life is horrible and I'm going through hardships and difficulties and sufferings, so I will tolerate it. I'll bear it. I'll get through it, Allah, even though I know you're putting me through this. I'll get through it. And if I have the, chance, and if I get over it, inshallah, I will forgive you for making me go through this. See what happens. Now, I end up trying to forgive Allah for the difficulties He gave me in my life. La ilaha illallah. Understand, my friends, how badly shaitan has misguided religion and religious people. He's the one who said, don't go after lazzat. These are all horrible things. Allah said so. So now if you want that, you come with me. This is what ends up. Yes, we don't say it because, there's that outside respect for Allah. Allah, I still respect you. I'm afraid of you. Inshallah, please don't send me to hell. But inside our hearts, this disease is inside our hearts, very deep inside there. And if we don't eradicate it, if we don't take this disease out, it just keeps on growing. It keeps on growing. We feel, and I'll give you live examples at the end of the speech, real examples of people who did not get rid of this disease, and where did they end up? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All right, that was shukr. Let me just also take you another concept that you all know of and respect. Did you know that dua? We make dua, and alhamdulillah, it's a very respectable subject. But you know that the asl, the root of dua, is very offensive to Allah. It's very offensive. It is an insulting thing to make dua. Yes, now you're wondering, what dua we make? We have so many duas. Let me tell you, my friends, the asl of dua, asking Allah for something. Allah, I want this, I want that. Allah doesn't mind. He is God. He doesn't mind. I'm saying on our part, it's very highly offensive. It's highly disrespectful to Allah. In our relationship, these are things that here, as I said, we need to scratch more from the surface, go a little bit deeper and understand this. Dua and asking Allah for things is highly disrespectful. It's a highly disrespectful thing. Urafa and people who are awliya of Allah, they have said that seeking from Allah anything other than Allah is disrespectful. Really disrespectful. You ask for Allah, Allah, I want this, I want that. Now, Allah loves it. He loves it. But on our part, it's disrespectful. You know what that means? Allah is hearing our demands and says, Allah, I want this and I want that and I want this. We say these things, and what happens is that Allah is saying, okay, come on, go on, go on. So what I gave you was not enough? You're asking for more? What I gave you is not enough? You're asking for more? This is what it means. It's highly disrespectful, but with one condition. But with one condition, that before you ask Allah for anything, remember all the things that He gave you and thank Him for that. Understand this, my friends. You know, really, dua itself is disrespectful, but when you remember what Allah has given you and said, Allah, you gave me this and you gave me that, I thank you for this, I thank you for that, thoroughly thank Allah for everything, and then in the midst of that, say, Allah, please, if you can give me this also. Then it's different. Look at the du'as of our imams, of Ahlul Bayt. You see, they have taught us the adab of du'as. When you make du'a, first you thank Allah. Thank Him. Allah, thank you for this. Thank you for that. And after, you see, the whole du'a goes by just thanking Allah for all the blessings and everything that He gave. Then at the end, the imam would say, Allah, please give me this. This is the adab, my friends. When you approach Allah, this is the way. Allah, first of all, wants you to enjoy all that He has given you. Allah is saying, did you enjoy it? Are you happy with it? Yes, I am. I was so happy with this that you gave me this. I enjoyed this thoroughly, Allah. Now I want, if you can give me this also. Read the dua Arafah of Imam Hussein, and then you will understand how Imam is pleading before Allah. But first, Allah, let me just go over everything that you have drowned me with. I am drowned in your blessings. I thank you for those kind parents that you gave me. I thank you for this body that you gave me. This health, and all these things. He's thanking one by one, thanking Allah, Allah, Allah. And then in the middle of that, you will see that the Imam is asking for something humbly. My friends, this is what dua is. And this dua entails that we enjoy. If we don't enjoy, then you know what happens? Well, you know, every time we ask dua, I say, Allah, I want this, I want this. When we have this attitude in our mind and this realization in our heart that Allah wants us to have fun, then that will make us such that now, because we will run around seeking happiness and pleasure in everything that we have, then everything will become quality time. Every blessing will become a quality for us. Ah, subhanallah. I enjoyed this. And if we don't do that, then you know what? Blessings are happening and we not happen. We will be led to greed. Yes. We will be led to hirs. You know what hirs is? Greed. Greed is a strange thing. Really, it's a strange thing. You know? My friends, not having is our downfall. The fear of not having is our destruction. The imagination that we will be without is what brings us down. What takes us down? Really, what is it that's making you go through all the difficulties at your job with a boss that is hateful and spiteful? And you go through all the insults every day. Why do you go through that? I'm not talking about every one of you. I'm saying example, right? Maybe your boss is beautiful, you know? It's all great. And he loves you, you know? And you're like a son to him. That's fine. But I'm saying that most of the times when I worked, that wasn't the case. You know? When I worked, that wasn't the case. You know, you had a boss who thought he's God and he's playing God, you know. And he gave speeches in the morning thinking that he's God. It's like he's reading, you know, his ayat, you know. This thing. And this whole, you know, playing God becomes their nature, you know. And you're like, you know, you just be happy that you have this job, you know. And you better be obedient to us. And you go through this and you're like listening to this. And you go through it. Why? There's a fear that if I lose this job, then what? Isn't there? There's a fear. The fear of not having, my friends, this is a psychological issue. The fear of not having drives us to lower our standards and our morals. You know, this is how Shaitan gets to you. You know, the first thing that he does to you, this is exactly what he does to you. He will make you fear not having, being without, lacking, deficiency. Any deficiency he sees, anything missing, he will make you fear of that. Yeah, I'm not saying this, right? Let me read an ayat for you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqr." Shaitan threatens you with poverty. Quran is saying this. Shaitan threatens you with poverty. He comes to you and says, you know, this is what you're missing. If you do this, you know, then you will be without. Now what happens is that that fear of not having, this is a psychological fear. It's not real. That fear is not real. It's a psychological fear that we have of not having, and we end up doing what? We end up falling down. This is how Shaitan made Adam fall down. When you look at the story of Adam, our grandfather, Adam, how did he fall down from grace? He did not sin. Let me make that clear for children who think that he might say, no, there's no sin. But he was evicted from the heaven he was in. It wasn't the heaven that's there, right? By heaven, by Jannat, it means it's a garden, right? So now what happened is that Shaitan, what did he use to bring him down? The first thing that happened in the story, the first thing when Shaitan went there to him, the first thing he says, فَوَسْوَفْسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan insinuated to him, وَقَالَ يَا آدَمْ هَلْ أَدُلَّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةٍ خُلْدٍ. شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. He says, Shaitan went to Adam and he says, you know, now, Adam is in Jannat. He has everything. You know, he has, you know, what he can eat, you know, what he can enjoy. Everything is there. But the one thing that Adam didn't have is that this Jannat wasn't forever. It wasn't forever. Understand this. Shaitan saw that Adam was lacking one thing. He's missing one thing. That all these enjoyments that he has, it's not forever. So that's the thing, the missing link that Shaitan used against Adam and says, hey, listen, you are missing this, Adam. What am I missing? Yeah, you like all this? Yes, I like this. Do you want in this to be forever? Do you want this to be forever? Shaitan's like, yeah, I don't have that. You see, my friends, not having. This is a psychological issue how Shaitan uses, and we fall into that trap. He used that against Adam, and he told Adam that, listen, you don't have this. And he used that to give Adam a vision or a sight of not having. When that happens, Adam fell for that. My friends, Shaitan does the same thing for us. He says, hey, did you like that food? He says, yes, I did like that food. Now you want it to be forever? And you're like looking, yeah, it's not forever. It's not forever. And now because we don't have that, we don't have khuld, now Shaitan can use it against us also. This is hirs, my friend. Looking at what others have and not looking at what you have. This is hirs. Allah says, don't look at what others have. Look at what you have. Really, look at what you have. Don't look at your neighbor. Why are you looking at your neighbor for? He's driving a Bentley and I'm driving a Honda. Don't look at the Bentley. Look at the Honda. Right? Look at this. Why are you looking at that? La ilaha illallah. This is what happens. Allah, He says that in the Quran. Right? He says that in the Quran. He says, do not look at what others are having.
Don't put your eyes over there at all the beauty that Allah has given. I'll read a hadith also from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam later. You have all these things that you have. Why aren't you looking at them and gaining the pleasure out of that and living it? You see, we don't enjoy the things that we have. That's why we look at other things. If we enjoyed what I have, then I wouldn't be looking at other things. If I enjoy the family that I have, the children that I have, if I enjoy that, why would I be looking at other places? If I enjoy the house that I'm living in, I wouldn't be looking at any other house. If I enjoy the car that I have, I wouldn't be looking anywhere. Here's what happens when you don't enjoy what you have. This is when hirs happens. A person who becomes mu'min and muttaqi, you know, I'm saying muttaqi in that, you know, our idea of what muttaqi is, right? That person, you see, you know, for example, every time, you know, he sees other people, there's hirs that growing, there's that tree that's growing in his heart, you know, why does he have that? And as I said, it's not just for you all, it's for, you know, us also. Really, but our hairs is not your hairs, you know, maybe, you know, I won't be that crazy about, you know, a car or a house, but, you know, this Maulana, you know, might, you know, fall into other bigger traps, you know, he comes to Mu'min Center and sees that, oh, over here, there are like 400 people who pray Juma prayers, and, you know, they have, you know, 500 people for Ashura, and in my masjid, there's only 100. What is this? This is what happens. Why am I not happy with what I have? This is the obligation of what I have. Really, my friends, look at myself and I'll see. My friends, number, does it really matter? Really doesn't matter. Imam Hussein had 72. Understand this. He completely was proud of these 72. Really, he loved them so much. You are worthy. You are special. You were in front of me. La ilaha illallah. My friends, this is it. This hirs happens when we don't enjoy what Allah has given us. Then our eyes go here and there and start looking at what others have. And this is where we end up. That's why lazzat is such an important issue in spiritual growth. Enjoying life and everything in life that Allah has given, when you enjoy it, then you can thank Allah. Your shukr makes sense, and then there is no hirs that appears in your heart. La ilaha illallah. This is it, my friends. Enjoyment. That's why we are talking about this. Because, yes, you know, when you want to enjoy, there's stages, levels of enjoyment. Something is, you know, inferior, something is superior. My friends, when you want to reach the higher stages of enjoyment, maybe we haven't felt it yet, but when you want to reach the higher stages of enjoyment, there's nothing more pleasurable than the ma'rifat of Allah. Really, maybe we don't know it yet. Admit it, you know, I don't know what that means. Right? You know, I can see how when Imam Ali is praying, he is so much into prayers. I can see that. I don't understand it. Really, I don't. What pleasure is he feeling? What is that? I don't. I'm not at that level. Admit it. That's good. Just admit it. You know, we don't. Really, we don't, my friends. But if, you know, there's, you know, what I can understand from that is that if Ali, and if I'm talking about Ali, meaning all of Ahlul Bayt, all the Masumeen, if they have so much pleasure in this that nothing can stop them from doing that, then it means that it is better than what I'm enjoying. It's better than what I'm enjoying. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My friends, when we think of the things that we don't have, that is where Shaitan comes in. He has laid a minefield in all those things and places that you don't have. I don't have this, it's a minefield. You go there, he blows you up. That's it. Why'd you walk in that minefield? Don't even look at that. Why? Enjoy what I have. Allah is saying, I gave you all these things to enjoy. I gave you eyes so that you can enjoy them. I gave you health so that you can enjoy it. I gave you intelligence so that you can enjoy it. I gave you family so that you can enjoy it. I gave you Ahlul Bayt. Salam. Really, you know, there's a hadith for hasad. You know, hasad is the same like hiris. A little bit different, but the same, right? Hadith for that, you know, it says that, someone who loves Ali can never have hasad or hiris in his heart. Really. This hadith is true. It's there, right? The hadith is there. So if you love Ali, there is no hasad. There is no hiris. But you say, Maulana, you know, we see many Shias having hasad. The hadith is right. Why is that? Very simple, my friends. You know, it's very simple to understand this. You know, have you ever seen a rich person envious of a poor person? You know, oh man, I'm so envious of you. You're a beggar and this and that. I want to be a beggar too. What's that? Have you ever seen a healthy person be envious of a sick person? Man, you have cancer. I wish I had that too. Anyone says that? Does it make sense? No, it doesn't. Someone who has can never be envious of someone who doesn't have. That's why when you have a treasure, you're not envious of anyone else because you have a treasure. The love of Ali is a treasure that cannot be matched with anything in this world. If you understood that you have it, then there's no way that you will have hasad or hiris of anything else. You know, this is it, my friend. This is, you know, when we look at ourselves as mu'min, look at what you have, you will never look around for anything else. You'll never, because Allah gave us so much, we should be just drowning with happiness. That's why it is said, a mu'min, whenever you see him, he's smiling. You know, what are you smiling for? I have a reason to smile. You know, I have a reason to smile. This is the reason, my friends. We are happy because we have, and we enjoy what we have. This is the secret of lazzat. Allah gave that in our nature so that we can enjoy it, and when we enjoy it, it eradicates the sicknesses in our hearts. This is what it is. Let me now, inshallah, I will explain other things tomorrow. One hadith I will read from Imam Ali. And salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So your hearts can be enlightened, right? It says, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ مَا فِي فَضْلِ مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. If people knew what is in the fadl, the fazilat of the ma'rifat of Allah, مَا مَدُّ أَعْيُنُهُمْ إِلَى مَا مَطَعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْأَعْدَى مِنْ ذَهْرَةِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالنَّئِيمِهَا. If you understood and realized the pleasure in the ma'rifat of Allah, in knowing Allah, then your eyes would never turn to all the pomp and pleasure and blessings that Allah has given to his enemies. Those who are enemies of Allah, Allah has given them a lot. You know, you see all these materialistic blessings and this and that. He says, if you understood Allah, then you wouldn't even look at these things. Because the pleasure is here. This is where the pleasure is. It goes on to say,
وَلَنَعَمُ بِمَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَلَزُّزُ بِهَا تَلَزُّزِ مَنْ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجِنَانِ مَعَ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ.
Let me translate that for you, very simply said, right? And this is what I said, just understand it. So, la ilaha illallah, we can truly, truly enjoy. My friends, you know what Allah, what Imam is saying here? Is that anyone who has tasted the pleasure of knowing Allah, it is the same pleasure that you will taste when you are with the Ahlul Bayt in Jannat. La ilaha illallah. Can you imagine that pleasure in Jannat when you are with Imam Hussein? Imagine, you know, I mean, you won't be yourself anymore. All these years, I mean, really, we go to Karbala and see the grave of Imam Hussein and we are going crazy. Imagine when Imam Hussein sits in front of you. Imagine that joy that's in the heart. Your heart is jumping up and down. That's the joy in your heart jumping up and down. Imagine that. And Imam is saying that you will feel that same pleasure if you know Allah here. La ilaha illallah. My friends, two examples I'll give, and then inshallah, you know, you give your condolences. You know, really, when you come to the majlis of Imam Hussein, if you have not really, I mean, really, you want to be azadar of Imam, you want to be a mourner of Imam Hussein, have this realization in your heart. If you come to the majlis, if you haven't smelt the fragrance of Jannat, then you haven't come really. Really, Hussein, when we come to your majlis, that's when we smell the fragrance of Jannat here. This is it. This is what we are about. I said, I'll give you two examples, right? The interesting examples, and inshallah, you know, you understand this. You know, a person who enjoys life and has recognized that there's greater enjoyment in Allah's ma'rifat, as opposed to a person who hasn't enjoyed what he has. He has a lot, but he hasn't enjoyed it. And then, you know, he just leaves it. You know, I mean, he wants more. A person by the name of Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Juhfi. I don't know if you have heard his name or not. Let me introduce him to you. Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Juhfi is a very interesting person. You know, he, without the history, I don't have time for the history about him, right? But he is one of those people that Imam Hussein came to asking for help. This person. Imam Hussein came to him and he welcomed Imam Hussein. He said, come on, please come in, come in. Imam Hussein came there. You know, at first, you know, he didn't want to meet Imam Hussein, but Imam Hussein, you know, he said, listen, I want to meet him myself. Because Imam Hussein at first sent a messenger, go and say, I want to meet him. And the reply came back negative. So Imam Hussein said, no, I want to meet him myself. He went there to meet him. In his tent, he went there to meet him. And this person, I mean, he welcomed him, Imam Hussein, he sat there. Imam Hussein said, you know, listen, you know, Imam Hussein told him, I am gharib. Now, gharib in Arabic means that I have no one here. I'm a stranger here in a foreign land. I don't know anyone here. He said, help me. Help me. Would you help me? He asked him for help. Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Juhfi, you know, he thought for a minute. Hussein, I know where you're headed towards. And I know that whatever you're going to do, you're going to get yourself into trouble. So, no, I won't help you. I can't, you know. You're asking too much of me. I won't help you. But, you know, he told Hussein Understand? But because you're going here, you know, as a token to help you, I, you know, I'm not going to come myself, but as a token, I have a very good horse and a sword. I will give this to you for whatever jihad you're doing. Let me give this to you. Now Imam Hussein said, listen, you know, we read an ayat that says that we do not accept, right, these things from you. Right? He refused it. Now, Imam Hussein left, my friends. This Ubaidullah ibn Jawfi, you know, thought that, you know what, there is more pleasure, you know, I need more things, I haven't lived my life yet. He wanted to live more. He wanted to have more fun. Because he did not have the concept of enjoying what he had. He wanted more. So now what happened? This person lived in Kufa. And in Kufa, he became so malignant. He was so harassed by people that no one would meet him. His life ended up outside of Kufa, where he lived and died as a pauper, someone who is completely unwanted by anyone. But his whole life, after that, his whole life he spent crying. He spent crying his whole life for Imam Hussein. He cried. They came to him and said, why are you crying for? You know, I mean, that realized, Hussein came to my door. He had came them, the blessing had come to my door, and I rejected it. Can you imagine that? It came and went. He didn't make a decision. He said, but why are you crying? You know what he cried for? He says, two things. He said, I'm crying for two things. He said, what is that? He says, I cried because when Hussein came and I saw his eyes were so beautiful. I can't get it out of my head. And you know the second reason I cried? I cried because when Hussein was sitting before me, there were 3-4 children of his playing next to him. And I saw Hussein, how much he loved those children. And I saw the love that he had for those children. I am crying because I am sure when those children died in front of Hussein. I mean, this was a person. He is a lesson for us. He is a lesson for us. Now, completely opposite of that was another person who was completely drowned. He was completely drowned in blessings. And that was Zuhair ibn Qain. Zuhair ibn Qain was a complete opposite caricature of what Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Juhfi was. When Imam Hussein sent for Zuhair knew what Imam Hussein is asking for. He didn't want to meet Hussein. He said, I already know where Hussein is going. I know what he wants. He didn't go there to meet him. And then his wife is the one who said, son of Fatima is calling you. Go and meet him. See what he wants. So Zuhair reluctantly went there. And in one meeting with Hussein, his life changed so much. He had everything. He was enjoying everything. He was a person of enjoyment and pleasure. He was enjoying everything. But that one meeting with Hussein had changed his whole perspective. His whole perspective. And then when he came back, he came to the tent, the door of the tent. He didn't even go inside. He went to the door of the tent, opened the door. He didn't even want to go into his dunya back again. He didn't even want to go back there. He just opened the tent and said to his wife that, farewell, I'm leaving. Farewell, I'm leaving. The wife said, where are you going? What's going on? Where are you headed towards? He says, no, I'm leaving. I don't want to come in. He says, but what happened? Where are you going? He says, I'm going with Hussein. And obviously the wife asked, but what about me? What about me? He says, no. Where Hussein is going, where we are going, there's no place for women. There's no place for women there. You know what the wife asked him? Then why is Zainab with Hussein? La ilaha illallah.
جب سے قافلہ کربلا آیا ایسا سما تھا کہ بالکل جیسا کہ کوئی غم چھا گیا تھا، نہ کوئی ایک دوسرے سے بات کرتا تھا، کوئی مسکراتے تھے، اپنے کام میں سب لگے ہوئے تھے، ایسے اپنے کام میں لگے ہوئے تھے، اور جب بھی کوئی لشکر کربلا میں داخل ہوتا تھا تو یہ غم بیشتر غم زیادہ ہو جاتا تھا، اور غم سارے اہل بیت اور اصحاب حسین سارے تھے. جب بھی کوئی لشکر آتا تھا تو زینب فضا سے کہتی تھی کہ فضا جا کے دیکھ کے آؤ کون آیا ہے. تو جو نام آتے تھے وہ نام جو آپ زیارت عاشورہ میں پڑھتے ہیں، کبھی خولی آیا ہے تو کبھی ہرملہ آیا ہے، ہرملہ کا لشکر. چھٹی محرم کو عمر ابن سعد کا لشکر آیا. جب ابن سعد اور ابھی تک سب دشمن ہیں، دشمن آ رہے ہیں، آرام سے سنیے باپ، دشمن آ رہے ہیں، اور جب یہ دشمن آ رہے ہیں زینب کا دل سنگین ہوتے جا رہا ہے. عمر ابن سعد کا جب لشکر آیا تو زینب نے امام حسین کو بلایا اور کہا کہ بھیا یہ کیا ہو رہا ہے، یہ کیا ہو رہا ہے، جو بھی آ رہا ہے یہاں پر دشمن ہے، جو بھی آ رہا ہے آپ کا خون کا طلبگار ہے، کوئی ہمارا دوست نہیں ہے، کوئی آپ ہمارا دوست، کوئی آپ کی مدد کے لیے نہیں آ رہا. دیکھیے زینب با معرفت ہے، عقیلہ بنی ہاشم، عالمہ غیر معلمہ، امام سجاد کی زبان سے زینب کو امام کی معرفت پوری طرح ہے. اور زینب یہ سوال جو کر رہے ہیں یہ اپنے لیے نہیں کر رہی ہے کہ ہماری کون دفاع کرے گا، زینب یہ سوال کر رہے ہیں یہ سب آپ کو مارنے کے لیے آ رہے ہیں. حسین بھیا میں آپ کے بارے میں سوچ رہی ہوں، کوئی نہیں آئے ہمارے لیے، کوئی نہیں آئے آپ کی مدد کے لیے. تو حسین نے کہا کہ بہن یاد کرو کب سے یہ لوگ کب ہماری مدد کرے، کب ہماری مدد کرے، اماں کی کبھی مدد کے لیے آئے، با کی مدد کے لیے آئے، کبھی بھائی کی مدد کے لیے آئے، تو آج کون سی امید ہے یہ لوگ کی مدد کرنے کے لیے. تو زینب نے کوئی تو ہوگا آپ کا دوست، میں جانتی ہوں کہ کوئی ایک ہے، ایک ہے حسین، اگر آپ ان کو بلائیں وہ انکار نہیں کرے گے. حسین بھی جانتے تھے مگر یہ حسین زینب کی زبان سے سننا چاہ رہے تھے. زینب نے کہا حبیب کہاں پر ہے، حبیب آپ کے دعوت کو رد نہیں کرے گا، میں حبیب کو جانتی ہوں، بچپن سے جانتی ہوں میں حبیب. حسین نے اب یہ حسین ہے، دیکھیے ایک زینب کی معرفت ہے اب حسین کی معرفت. حسین خط لکھے ہیں حبیب ابن مظاہر کو اور قاصد کے ہاتھ سے بھیجتے ہیں. قاصد مشکلوں سے گزرتا ہوا حبیب کے گھر تک پہنچتا ہے کوفہ میں. اس وقت حبیب گھر میں کھانا کھا رہے ہیں بیوی کے ساتھ، اور یہ سنتے دروازے پہ کھٹکھٹاہٹ. حبیب گئے دروازے پہ، کہتے کون ہے، آواز آئی انا برید الحسین، میں حسین کا قاصد ہوں. جیسا کہ حبیب سنے حسین کا نام بس ایک لرزہ سا آ گیا اپنی پیارے جسم پر. دروازہ کھولتے ہیں، اندر بلاتے ہیں تو پہلی چیز یہ کرتے ہیں کہ قاصد کے ہاتھ کو چھومتے ہیں. یہ ادب ہے، یہ ادب ہوتا ہے. حسین کے پاس سے خط آیا تو پہلے یہ قاصد جو تم ہے تمہارا ہاتھ تو میں پہلے چھوموں. یہ جو آتے ہیں نا جب کوئی بھی کربلا سے واپس آتے ہیں آپ کیا کرتے ہیں، ہاتھ چھومتے ہیں. یہ ادب ہے جو ہم سیکھے ہیں صحابی رسول امام حسین سے، ہم سیکھتے ہیں چیز ہے. جب وہ آئے پہلے ہاتھ چومتے ہیں، خط ہاتھ میں لیا، آنکھوں کو لگایا، اور جب کھولے خط تو
پہلا جملہ یہ تھا من الحسین الى رجل فقیہ، یہ حسین کی طرف سے ہے، وہ مرد جو عالم ہے جو فقیہ ہے ان کے لیے ہے یہ خط. اب جیسا وہ بعد کے جملے پڑھتے ہیں تو آنکھ سے آنسو جاری ہوتے ہیں، آنکھ سے آنسو جاری ہوتے ہیں اور وہ غش کی حالت میں، بالکل غش کی حالت. دیکھیے حبیب حسین کے شیعہ ہے، حسین کے شیعہ ہے، محب ہے، محبت کرتے ہیں، معرفت رکھتے ہیں اپنی امام کی. آپ کو میں صرف یہ انس دینے کے لیے اتنا کہوں گا کہ اگر یہی امام جب خط آیا ہے امام حسین سے حبیب تک، حبیب کا کیا منظر ہے اس وقت، صرف آپ یہ اپنے خیال میں پہچانی ہے کہ اگر وہ امام، حبیب جانتے ہیں یہ امام وقت ہے، کسی کی ضرورت نہیں ہے امام کو، یہ امام وقت ہے. جب کسی سے مدد مانگ رہے ہیں امام، حبیب جانتے ہیں کہ کون سی مصیبت ہے، کیسی مظلومیت ہے کہ حسین ایسا ایسی مدد مانگ رہے ہیں. عزاداروں اگر بس اتنا سوچئے، اگر یہ خط آپ کے گھر آتا تھا اور آپ دیکھتے تھے کہ میرے مولا مجھے خط لکھے اور میرے سے مدد مانگ رہے، تو آپ کیا کہتے تھے، کیا سوچتے تھے، بتائیے. آپ کی حالت وہ ہوتی تھی جو حبیب کی ہوئی. اب آپ اندازہ لگائیے حبیب کا کس، اب جو جملے پڑھتے ہیں حسین کا یہ خط ہے، حسین یہ نہیں کہہ رہے ہیں کہ حبیب مجھے مدد کی ضرورت ہے. دیکھیے اب حسین کی معرفت پہچانی ہے، حسین یہ نہیں کہہ رہے ہیں کہ حبیب مجھے آپ کی ضرورت ہے، حسین یہ لکھتے ہیں کہ حبیب میرا تو کچھ بھی ہو مگر میرے ساتھ رسول کے بیٹیاں ہیں. رسول کے بیٹیاں ہیں میرے ساتھ. حبیب اب تو آئیں گے نا، نہیں ابھی یہ بات پہنچی نہیں. آپ عزادار ہیں، آپ اپنے امام کا احترام بھی کرتے ہیں اور آپ اپنے امام سے محبت بھی کرتے ہیں. نہیں ایک زمانے میں جب ایران میں پڑھتا تھا قم میں، وہاں کا ایک واقعہ ہے، سادہ سا واقعہ ہے، سنیے. آپ روتے رہیے، اپنا پرسا دیتے رہیے، میں واقعہ سناتا. قم میں تھا، ٹیکسی اسٹینڈ پہ تھے، ایک ٹیکسی آئی جس میں کچھ مرد تھے، ایک خاتون تھی، اترے وہ لوگ، ٹیکسی کا حساب کر رہے. جیسے حساب کر دیے دروازے بند ہوئے، خاتون کی چادر دروازے میں پھنس گئی اور گاڑی آگے نکلی. وہ اوپر کی چادر تھی، اندر لباس حجاب کا کوئی وہ نہیں تھا، صرف اوپر کی چادر نکلی. نکل کے کھینچتے ہوئے چلے گی گاڑی. جیسا کہ گاڑی گئی تو ہم یہ دیکھیں کہ چو طرف سے کوئی دکان والا، کوئی روڈ پہ ٹھہرنے والا، سب بھاگ لیتے آئے، بھاگ لیتے آئے، چو طرف سے بھاگ لیتے، گاڑی کو روکے، مار کے روکے گاڑی کو. یہ بتا دے رہے آپ تو بات سمجھ جائیں گے. مقابلے میں آیت اللہ مریشی نجیبی کا دفتر تھا، وہاں پر ایک بزرگ صاحب یہ منظر دیکھ رہے تھے. جیسا یہ منظر دیکھا، کیا ان کے دماغ میں گزرا، کیا دل میں گزرا کہ وہ ایک دم زمین وہاں پر سیڑھیوں پر بیٹھ کے رونا شروع کر دیے، چیخ چیخ کے رونا شروع کر دیے. اب سب جاتے ہیں پوچھتے ہیں آپ کو کیا ہوا، کیا ہوا. بس یہی دیکھے نا کہ خاتون ایک مومنہ کی چادر کھینچی گئی، چار طرف سے لوگ بھاگ کے آئے. ہاں ایک مومنہ ہے، کوئی خاتون ہے. اب جب ان سے پوچھ رہی کیوں رو رہے ہیں، اسے او تم عزادار مومنوں کہاں تھے جب رسول کی بیٹی آتے. ارے حسین تڑپ تڑپ کے رہ گئے تمہارے لیے، تڑپ تڑپ کے رہ گئے تمہارے لیے. ہاں وہ حسین آخری دم تک کہتے تھے ہائی کوئی ہے جو رسول کی حرم کی دفاع کرے گا.
آپ سمجھے یہ خط کا معنی. جب حبیب پڑھتے ہیں تو کہتے ہیں کہ رسول کی ناموس, رسول کی بیٹیاں وہ مصیبت میں ہے تو کیسا نہ جاؤں میں. جب میں نے بھائی بس میں اب آپ کو صاحب کی زحمت تمام کرتا ہوں, آپ پرسا دیجئے. میں کہہ رہا ہوں کہ جب سے کربلا میں حسین کا قافلہ آیا ہے ایک غم سی چھائی ہوئی ہے, کوئی بات نہیں کر رہا, اپنے کام سے کام میں لگے ہوئے ہیں, کوئی ایک دوسروں کو دیکھتا نہیں. تو بس یہ ہوا کہ جب حبیب آئے تو بس ایسا جشن برپا ہوا, ایسی خوشی برپا ہوئی کہ اب ہر کوئی ہنسنا شروع کر دیا, ہر کوئی بات کر رہے ہیں. عباس اپنا علم کے لے کے جا کے حبیب کے سر کے اوپر پھراتے ہیں, اے حبیب آ گیا. اب یہ جب شور مچا تو زینب تک آواز پہنچی, تو زینب نے کہا یہ کیا ہوا, تو پتا چلا حبیب آ گیا. اب کہتی ہے فضا سے زینب, جاؤ میرے حبیب کو میرا خصوصی سلام پہنچانا, میرا خصوصی سلام. اب جب فضا آتی ہے حبیب کو بلاتی ہے, ذرا حبیب حبیب با ادب جاتے ہیں. اب جب فضا کہتی ہے کہ بنت زہرا زینب کبرا آپ کو سلام بھیجتے ہیں, تو حبیب جب سنتے ہیں تو اپنے آپ کو گرا لیتے ہیں زمین پر, مٹھی لیتے ہیں, سر پہ ڈالتے ہیں, ماتم کرنا شروع کرے. اب میں کیا کہوں آپ کو میرے بھائیوں عزاداروں, بس پہچانو اس عزا کی کیا قیمت ہے اور اس ماتم کی کیا قیمت ہے. جشن ہو رہا ہے, اشیاء حسین کا اشیاء ماتم کر رہا ہے, اہل بیت کا جشن ہو رہا ہے. سمجھ گئے آپ, جب آپ عزاداری کرتے, جب آپ روتے, جب آپ ماتم کرتے تو یہ اہل بیت کا جشن ہے. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. ماتم حسین,
یا حسین, یا حسین.